Janice asked me if I brought my Bible tonight. I said, no, I printed it out so I can read it. 14-point font. Okay. The scripture that was just read a few minutes ago, it ends up, it's telling us that we're supposed to watch and be ready for Jesus when he comes. Now, how are we supposed to do that? Can we set a watchman out there and let him watch to see when the Lord comes? I don't think that'd be very effective. How do we watch for the Lord to come? I don't hear any answers. We take the Bible and we read. We analyze the scriptures. We find out what he wants us to do. And then we do it. Well, which scripture do we need to analyze? How do we do that? How do we take a book that's probably over 2,000 pages in most of your Bibles? You take the Old Testament and the New Testament together. How do we analyze the entire book? And someone says, but every time you read it, you find something new in it. So that means if you read the entire thing and read it again, you're going to find something new, right? I'm going to take a scripture, very familiar scripture. And for my class, they already know the punchline. But it's not real bad that I remind you again. In Luke, the 10th chapter, starting with verse 25, and read through 37. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, that's Jesus, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and thou shalt love and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he, that's Jesus, said unto him, the lawyer, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you shall live. But he said, wanting to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on ointment and wine. And he sent him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him that fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. How many has heard that before? Mm-hmm. Can we read that and find something new in it? Now, over the past year or so, I know this sermon's been taught at least three times. A couple of them I didn't hear because it was in the morning adult class, and I was in one of the other classes. So I don't know whether the exact lesson's been taught here or not. But this is more a lesson on how do you study the Bible. We're going to go through this in somewhat detail. Because I imagine you've all heard different sermons on this, bringing out one part of this and or another part of it, or maybe several parts. But what was the point of the story? The question. Why did Jesus give this parable? We're going to regress just a little bit. In the lifeline you see by outline, and it points out a couple of things that a problem with studying the Bible. I have to admit that this is doesn't necessarily wasn't my intent to begin with, but this is an extra lesson to throw in. There's a word down through there that I read when I proofed this differently than what's there. You know, I knew what I intended to put there. And I had it in my mind what I intended to put there. My spell checker even said it was a word. But it wasn't the word that I intended. When you see layer, that's lawyer. Missed the guy. But the problem is when we read the Bible, a lot of times we see what we want to see. We had others reinforce that fact. Because they believe exactly the way we do. You know, well, we've got to get beyond what we believe and look and see what's actually there. Okay? So, I'm not very good with outlines. So I'm going to read the scripture again. And we'll go through it. And behold, there was a certain lawyer stood up testing. Now, that implies that the lawyer wasn't sincere in what he's asking. He was testing Jesus, as the lawyers did. The lawyers were very knew the scriptures very well. They knew the minute details of every part of it. You know, like lawyers know the law today, and they can twist it. Okay? And he was looking for something to trap Jesus in. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. Okay? I'm not exactly sure how he thought he was going to trap Jesus here. But Jesus knew what was going on. Did Jesus answer the question? No. He turned it back on the lawyer and said, what do you think? Okay? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all your strength, with all your heart, and your neighbor as of yourself. And Jesus said, that's right. You rightly told me the answer to your question. Now remember what the lawyer was telling them. What his purpose was for asking here. He was trying to test or trap Jesus. Had he done that? No. He trapped himself. So in order to justify his question, he says, "Who is my neighbor?" Right? Now, you kind of have to understand times back then. We're sort of like it ourselves. You see, if you have to love your neighbor, well, then if you can restrict who your neighbors are, you restrict who you have to love. So his question is here is, well, how broad is that? Now, do I have to love everybody? And Jesus starts this prayer. And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and departed, leaving half dead." Okay, who was this man? What was his name? We don't know. What was his rank? We don't know. What nationality was he? We don't know. He could have been any nationality, any economic class. We don't know anything about this man. So who would he represent? Anybody. Right. Okay. It says, "By chance a certain priest came down that road." Okay, priest. Who was the priest? They were the leaders of the religion. Right? That would roughly be the elders, the deacons, and preachers, right? Is that true? Is that who he's talking about here? But in Revelation, we're called a holy nation and a royal priesthood, not the preachers. But at that time, everyone was a priest. It says, "And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite." Okay, who was the Levites? Levites were set aside to take care of the temple, to take care of the menial tasks of the religion. Now, if the first priest didn't get us, this would be. What is the temple of God? What is the religion of God now? It's the church, right? And who's supposed to take care of the church? The elders? Well, yeah. The preacher? Well, yeah. The deacons? Yeah. What about the members? Yeah. Okay, so the first one didn't get every one of us. This one did. Okay? Now, I've heard lessons being taught that the church, that the leaders fell down on their job here. And you know, I think Jesus picked these folks for that very purpose, to drive home that very point, okay? That the church or the religious people are supposed to take care of others, okay? That's not the point of the story. It's a great lesson. It's It's a great lesson that I think Jesus intended for us to understand. But I don't believe it's the point of the story. Besides, remember, this is being told to the lawyer. He's trying to restrict the number of people he that is his neighbor, the number of people that he's got to love. So the priest came by and he saw this nobody over here to the side of the road, and he walked around the other side. Well, in the lawyer's mind, the lawyer's saying, well, that's okay, because that person's not the priest's neighbor, so the priest didn't have to love him. So the lawyer is still thinking in his mind, everything's fine. Okay? Then the Samaritan comes. Now, Samaritans were dogs, according to the Jews. They were dogs. And by the way, those that have dogs and like them, that's not what the Jews were talking about. The dogs were the lowest of low. You can't get any lower than a dog. Okay? You think we've had racial tensions over the years? Between a Jew and a Samaritan, it was as bad or worse than it was ever here racially. You know, the Samaritans were half-breeds. Not only that, they were supposed to be following God's law. And they even claimed to be following God's law. Remember when the Jesus talked to the lady at the well, the Samaritan lady at the well? She asked, well, the Jews worship in Jerusalem at the temple, and we worship on the mountain. Which one's right? Now, in our heads, we fast forward here to where he says that we must worship in spirit and truth. There's another verse in there. He says, the Jews know who they're worshiping. You don't even know who you're worshiping. They claim to be worshiping God. Weren't doing it right. And Jesus says they didn't even know who they were worshiping, really. And the Jews, in general, took that even further and said, they blaspheme. They've gone completely away from the true worship. We're not going to have anything to do with them. They were half-breeds because they had intermarried with the people that had been brought in from other nations. They weren't following God's law. And I've heard sermons, and I think rightfully so, point this out, saying we're not supposed to be prejudiced. You know, we're not supposed to be like that. That we're supposed to help those that need help. And I think that's a true, and that's, Jesus understood that this, he picked the Samaritan to make that very point. But that's not the point of this story. It's a good lesson. A true lesson. One that I think Jesus intended to bring out. Still not the main point of the story. See, the Samaritan got the person, bound his wounds, cleaned him up, put him on his own donkey, and took him to an inn. And took care of him that night. And paid for the innkeeper to continue taking care of him. And I've heard lessons. Lessons pointing this out, that we're supposed to, even at our own expense, help others. I think this point Jesus intended for us to understand. I think it is a true lesson and a very important one that you can get out of this. still not the main point of the story. Jesus is speaking here. He's speaking to the lawyer. So which of these three do you think was neighbor unto him? And he said, he who showed mercy on him was neighbor. Now, quite frankly, the lawyer still pretty happy with his answer. Because what was his question? Who is my neighbor? He's trying to restrict. Okay? So if now the Samaritan and the stranger are neighbors, well, it's because the Samaritan showed mercy on, so you only have to worry about people who show mercy unto you, right? Is that the point of the story? At this point, the lawyer could very easily take this. Because if Jesus is answering the question that was asked, that's what it would mean. Who is my neighbor? It's the one who showed mercy. Well, if you the only one that shows mercy, if the neighbors is only those that show mercy to me, that's the only ones I have to worry about, right? I only have to love those folks. But what was Jesus' reply? Go and do likewise. But you don't understand. This man's not my neighbor. Do I have to go show mercy on him? Because I don't know him. I don't know whether he's rich because he's been beaten. He may not even be a Jew. He might be another Samaritan. Or he may be from Spain or Ethiopia, a Gentile. And are you telling me that I'm supposed to go show mercy on him? You see, Jesus didn't answer the question that was asked. He answered the question that should have been asked. What was asked was, who is my neighbor? Who can I limit my sphere of love on? The question that was answered was, who can I be neighbor to? Now, I said that I was going to relate this back on how to study the Bible. Because as you go through and study the Bible, you'll find there's layers. Not the layers that I used a while ago. But there is layers to the Bible. How many of us actually cut up an onion? For those that stuck, been around long enough, I'm not talking about the onions that comes in the jar that says powdered or dried onions. I'm talking about those. Okay? I'm not even talking about the ones that you go to the grocery store and you open up the plastic cake and they're already diced. They're already cut up. I'm not talking about those. Okay? I'm talking about the onions that come out of God's good earth. When you cut those, they start to peel. And you can peel that top layer off. You know, There's a second layer underneath there. You can peel that off too. And there's a third layer underneath there. You peel that off. And you can keep peeling until there's nothing left of that onion. The Bible is sort of like that. Except as you peel the Bible, the layers of the Bible back, it gets bigger. You have more stuff. As we just went through this story, we went through several layers of that. We went through what the lawyer was thinking. We went through what the priest was thinking. We went through what the Levite was thinking. What the Samaritan? What he did. And as you study the Bible, you need to look for these different points. You need to figure out really why did he pick a priest to come by first? Why did he pick a Levite? You always have to keep in mind what the point of the story is. You know, this was a test that the lawyer was putting Jesus through. A test where that was a response to a specific question. You have to see what the big picture is here. And Jesus was telling this man, you've got it wrong. It's not who is my neighbor. It's who I can be neighbor to. That's the point of this story. Well, it has many other layers that has very good messages. As you go through the Bible, well, there's a lot of time where the context, ever heard of the context in the book of scriptures? The context will tell you what it's talking about. It may have other things involved, other lessons that are taught. But one of the things that we need to always understand is exactly what this context is. What is being talked about? Because otherwise, we miss the point of the story. The point of the story is not that a half-breed took care of a stranger. That's not the point of the story. That's part of the narrative. But it's not the point of the story. And us as good Bible students need to figure out exactly what the point of the story is and then start peeling those layers back and find out what else is there. Sometimes we're content on peeling back a couple of layers and finding something and then going on to the next, and then we decide we know what the story means. That we've already figured it out. Just like I figured out that you spell lawyer, L-A-Y, you call it. You know, I believe that I had that spelled right. Not that I didn't know that there wasn't a W in there, I just ignored it. You know? And when we start ignoring things, then we get in trouble. I get in trouble with my spelling. You can ask my mother. It's happened my entire life. When we start in schoolwork, if you start ignoring things, those are the things that pop up on the test. you start ignoring things as you're studying the scriptures, then those are gotchas. Those are things that's going to come back and bite you. Because you've missed the lesson. Now, I spent a good bit of time here talking about studying the scriptures. That's the only way that we can be ready when he comes back. It's the only way. And you know, if the servant receives a message from the master and he misunderstands it, he thinks the master's coming back next week instead of tomorrow, will he be ready? He's got to understand what the message is. He can't ignore it. He can't make up his own message. He has to go by exactly what the message is that his master sends. So there's a question here in Luke, the 10th chapter. It says, be ready. Are you ready? I can't answer that for you. I might make some guesses, but that's all they are, guesses. I just can't answer that for you. The person sitting next to you, you might know them very well, but they can't answer that question for you. You have to answer that question. Are you ready? That can be very easy for you to answer, especially if you are ready. Or it may be a little bit harder for you to answer if you're ignoring some of the facts. My plea, if you deny, is don't ignore what's going on. Don't look through your life in rose-tinted glasses and because somebody else thinks you're ready, then you must be ready. Right? You have to answer that question for yourself. And you have to be very focused and not read things into it. Don't make stupid mistakes and leave W's out. Look at your own life. Look to see how your life measures up. And if we can help you, you can come as we stand and sing.